Welcome to Compassionate Conversations, where we push the boundaries of comfort to empower you to become all that you dream of being.
Hi, I'm Esther Kane. I'm a Canadian psychotherapist and the author of It's Not About the Food, A Woman's Guide to Making Peace with Food and Our Bodies. For over 25 years, I've been helping people to overcome problematic relationships to food and their body image. And to my great delight, my book has helped thousands of people to do just that. I decided to do this series where I interview other body image warriors who I respect and love their work in order to help us form more of a community around talking about our disordered relationship with food and our bodies, in the hopes that we will find strength in each other's stories and share some really helpful tools and methods that you can use in order to heal your relationship with food and how you see your body. If you're thinking, I don't know if I have an eating disorder, so maybe these videos won't be meaningful to me, please give it a chance. When I tell people, for example, that I'm an eating disorder therapist, people automatically think eating disorders are just anorexia and bulimia. And while I treat those issues in my practice, the bulk of my clients tend to fall into the category of emotional eating. People who eat when they're mad, sad, glad, and fearful. There's all kinds of reasons that we turn to food. And they are usually the people that are yo-yo dieters, that do obsessive exercising. Maybe they are in middle age and their body's metabolism has changed and they've put on some extra weight and they just can't seem to get it off. All of these people fall into the category of some type of disordered eating pattern. So if that applies to you, please stay tuned. I'm going to be interviewing some fabulous people in this series who will definitely give you some great ideas and tips in order to make peace with food and your body. I invite you to sit down, make yourself cozy, and get ready for story time. This is an adult story to help any of you out there who may be struggling with orthorexia, which is a fixation on healthy eating. Make sure to check out the link in the show notes to a more research-oriented article that I wrote, which covers orthorexia in more detail. But since we learned so much from hearing other people's stories, I've decided to share mine with you in order to help you heal your relationship with food. The story is called Confessions of an Orthorexic. I'm 17 years old. It's a muggy summer's night in Toronto. Me and my boyfriend at the time, who was 2 years older than me, were hanging out in the tiny kitchen of the basement apartment he had just moved into. He had invited me over for a home-cooked meal in his new pad. Knowing that I was what he called a food fascist, his words, not mine, it was not so funny to me then, it's funny now, he went to great lengths to buy the ingredients for and prepare a vegetarian stir-fry with tofu and brown rice, one of the few meals that I would eat in front of anyone else at that point. As he was frying up the vegetables, happily humming to himself, he innocently poured a dollop of honey into the mix to sweeten it up. Aghast, I jumped up from my seat, threw a plate at him, and screamed, "Honey, that's an animal product. I can't eat that." And began crying and ran outside into the backyard like a madwoman while he tried to figure out what he'd done wrong. I cringe just telling you this. And wherever you are, dear one, I want you to know it was the orthorexia talking, not me. I have known for most of my life that I struggled with an eating disorder. But a while back, I found a name for it. It's called orthorexia nervosa, an obsession with eating healthy food. You may think, what's so bad about wanting to eat healthy food? Nothing, unless you have a predisposition towards obsessive behavior like me. In my case, it all began as a child.
My parents divorced when I was 4, and I lived in 2 homes as a result. As an only child with no siblings to lean on, I had to soothe myself, and controlling what I ate gave me a sense of order and safety in an unpredictable and often unsafe environment. After the divorce, my father stopped eating meat and became zealous about preventing cruelty to animals and professed that being vegan, not eating any animal products, including dairy, was the best way to save the earth. He soon became macrobiotic, a very strict system of food preparation based on a traditional 2,000-year-old Japanese diet. So while other kids were chowing down on lunches of Wonder Bread and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, I was eating tofu or tempeh sandwiches with sauerkraut on whole grain bread. I have to admit this was a wee bit embarrassing when with my peers. Seaweed was also a mainstay, and I can remember my friends recoiling when I would chew on a nori sheet for a snack. Meanwhile, my mother was a staunch gourmet. In fact, she was the food editor of the Toronto Star, which was Canada's largest newspaper at the time. And when I saw her on weekends, I was fed everything evil according to my father's diet. Big juicy hamburgers, french fries, and even milkshakes. My mother in no way approved of the way my father ate and did her best to make up for it on the weekends when I was in her care, encouraging me to eat red meat and all else that my dad forbade. To an 8-year-old, this was very confusing. I felt like I was caught in the middle of a food war between my parents, and that whenever I ate what they fed me, I was betraying the other one. I felt guilty when I ate what either of them offered me, and was angry that they can control me in this way. To be perfectly honest, I'm still not entirely sure why I became a vegetarian. I was 15 at the time. Perhaps it had something to do with the fact that my dad was one and I wanted to be closer to him, and I felt that by eating the way he did, this would happen. Or maybe I thought the meat was fattening and was scared of gaining weight, so I cut it out of my diet. Or perhaps it was a way to control something in my life when everything else felt completely out of my control. I also suspect it had something to do with getting attention from my mother, who was constantly focusing on her work, or my stepfather and their unhappy relationship. Most likely it was a combination of all the above. I know it wasn't for purely ethical reasons, because I still wore leather footwear and wasn't an animal rights activist by any means. All I do know is that food became a big focus for me at this time, and I spent a lot of time reading books about healthy eating and started working part-time at health food stores, something I continued to do right through until the end of university. This devastated my mother and caused many arguments between us. I realized then that I was able to control her through my food choices. As a quiet, insecure teen that felt she had very little control over her life in general, this was a victory. In a house where people were fighting all the time and I felt left out, my control over food gave me a sense of power and caused the adults in my life to focus on me for once. For the first time ever, I felt powerful and in control of something, and I wasn't about to give it up. My healthy eating regime just escalated me from there. I read Fit for Life back to front, memorizing all of the concepts of proper food combining. I carried it proudly under my arm like a Bible and professed the wisdom contained within to anyone who would listen. For example, meat and dairy products are the foods of the devil. It was all about being clean and pure on the inside and living a healthy life. God knows, I felt anything but clean and pure inside. And I thought that if I could clean up my body, the rest of my life would also wash up nicely, and I'd have no more mess anywhere. I looked towards healthy eating as a salvation from all of life's unpredictability, pain, and confusion. As long as I was obsessed with what I was eating, I could ignore the emptiness, anger, and hurt I was feeling inside. Planning my entire day's food before going to bed and reading health food books gave me a sense of peace and order that was missing from my life. Here is an example of my typical day's food intake at that time. Breakfast, nothing but fruit until noon. In other words, constantly hungry, thinking about food. Lunch, a plate full of raw vegetables with 2 slices of whole grain bread with avocado on it. Snack, more fruit. Dinner, large glass of freshly made vegetable juice followed by whole grain pasta with tofu and olives. I feel bad for my mother now, thinking back on those times. I had saved up my work money and bought myself an industrial strength juicer called the Champion. Just the name of it gave me a feeling of strength and imbued a sense of wonder and power. I set this huge heavy machinery up on the kitchen counter and would make one hell of a racket just before dinner each night, when I would rev it up its horse-powered engine and whir copious amounts of vegetables through its jaws to make my magical healthy elixir, which I drank at least half an hour before dinner so that it could digest properly in my stomach. My mother would wince and roll her eyes up to the ceiling as if to say to God, "What have I done to deserve this?" I would then quietly sip my juice, becoming a darker shade of orange each day. At one point, my mother was so concerned by my jaundiced-looking skin that she dragged me to the doctor, who diagnosed me with dangerously high levels of beta-carotene. I laughed this off because I believed that you could never have too many vitamins. That was preposterous. I was so focused on righteous eating that it became very difficult to hold down a part-time job. I can still remember trying to keep up with the busy lunch crowd, cleaning up tables and attending to water glasses, but being so hungry, I could hardly keep moving. My shift was something like 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon at a local restaurant, and on my regimen, I was only supposed to eat fruit until noon. Translate that into, I was ravenously hungry until lunch every single day. And in a fast-paced restaurant where you're supposed to be running around serving people, there's not a lot of time to run to the back, peel a couple of bananas, and eat them. I can't remember exactly how that job ended, but I'm guessing I got fired for trying to sneak fruit all during my shifts. Or perhaps they got a little testy about me fainting on the customers. I had a lot of fainting during my orthorexic period as well. However, I soon found that working in a health food store provided me with the perfect environment. Here, I was able to follow my ultra-strict diet while also educating the public about righteous eating like a prophet from a mountaintop. I felt I had the key to humanity's ills, and that if I could just teach them to be healthy like me, then they too would be saved from all of life's unpleasantness. One would think that I would be fit to be a marathon runner from looking at my diet, but I would not say that I was healthy. Health consists of balance and doesn't just come from a healthy diet and regular exercise. It also means being emotionally balanced, and I was anything but that at the time. I was socially isolated, depressed, felt all alone in the world. No diet can fix those problems. It was around this time that I suddenly developed allergies to many foods and would refuse to eat them. Conveniently, I convinced myself that I was allergic to all of the foods I deemed evil, such as white sugar, dairy, meat, white flour, and a whole host of others that baffled and confused everyone around me. I used these allergies as an excuse to not eat what other people were eating and to avoid eating with others. I soon learned that telling people I was allergic to specific foods, that they would stop questioning me about what I ate and didn't eat and why. It was a way to avoid being scrutinized in public, something that made me recoil even further into myself. By now, I was carrying food with me wherever I went, even to restaurants. God forbid I should be at a local eatery without my brown rice or whole grain bread and have to eat refined grain product. I thought that this would surely kill me. I dreaded going out for meals in the first place, but I figured I could protect myself in part from the evils of unclean food by supplementing whatever I was served with, something wholesome and pure. My mother recalls one event in particular which made her want to curl up and disappear. The three girls, that's me, my mother, and my sister, who was a young child at the time, went by train to Montreal to visit my uncle, and I was touting yogurt as my latest savior, and had brought a tub with me on the train so I could have a constant supply of friendly bacteria in my colon. As we were sitting on the train, there were 4 seats per section, and we were joined by another lady. It was a bit bumpy, which caused my tub of yogurt to fall swiftly on the head of the stranger sitting with us. She couldn't even see through the lumps of white goo encrusted on her face, but she was amazingly gracious about it. My mother got angry with me, and I couldn't understand why. I was just upset that my entire yogurt was wasted. Luckily, I can see the humor in it now, but I didn't when it happened. At the time, I didn't think there was anything strange about my behavior. In fact, I felt a righteous indignation about my food beliefs and looked down on anyone who wasn't as wise and self-disciplined as I was. I believed I was somewhat of an enlightened being due to my clean eating lifestyle. Now I see that I was terribly isolated and lonely. I feel sad for my old self now and see that I used righteous eating as a means to create safety and security in a life that was terrifying and out of control. While I still eat a very healthy diet, I have relaxed a lot about food and eating. I've learned healthier ways to cope with life's uncertainties and problems, and no longer need to use healthy eating as a security blanket. I've also learned that it's more important to focus on being connected with others and eat less healthy foods than it is to be isolated and lonely following the perfect diet. Today, I gladly trade a solitary wheatgrass high for the peace and loving connections I now have with those around me.